Amen. Let's go to the doctor of all doctors. shall follow them that believe. Amen. We're going to all touch and agree because we believe. Now, the Bible says that God cannot deny himself, and neither can he deny his word. So if we stand on his words and promises, amen, these signs will follow. She shall be healed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we don't know what's going on in her body, but you know. Now, Lord, we come before you in this time of need. Lord, you know the miracles that she needs. Lord, you know her body needs to be touched. Right now, in the name of Jesus, as we stand on your word, Lord, we stand on your promises. Touch her, Lord, right now. Lord, heal her right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, give her a testimony of victory. Now, can we all say in Jesus' name? Now the scripture said if two or three of us, amen, we don't need a whole church, but if two or three of us agree on anything on earth, God will establish it in heaven. Now sister, I thought I believe you're here. Amen. Will you go back and believe the testimony? Can we give a lot of hallelujah? Come on, hallelujah. Come on, you got to learn to praise your way out of some situations. You got to let God have his way. Believe you're here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Somebody say, he's an all-time God. I say, he's an all-time God. He may not come when you want him. He may not come when you think he ought to be there, but our God is an all-time God. Yes, he is. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Amen. Our scripture reading this afternoon will be coming from 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to hold Philippians chapter 1 as well. Amen. You know, as you're preparing the word of God, you know, I was reading over some scriptures, and I had one thought in mind, and then God started dealing with some others, you know, bringing some other stuff in mind. So I said, Lord, now, I can pursue what I studied all week. Or I can just shift, amen, and be led. So I said, well, if I pursue what I want to do, it might not necessarily be the mind of God, so I'm going to surrender. Amen. Because God knows what we need. And you know, let's pray before we do that. We all can pray. Let's pray. This is going to be a very simple prayer. Are you ready? Lord, send down thine anointing in Jesus' name. That's it. Amen. Because if he sent the anointing will do everything else. Amen. Amen. We're going to read verses. We're going to read verses 5 through, I'm not going to read everything. Let's read verses 5 with Luke, but I read verse 12. All right, verses 5 through 12. Amen. Do we have it? Let us start. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now being manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed. give it unto him again. Amen. May the Lord ever bless you to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. And as I said, I prepared and studied one message, but you know, it's important that we try to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And as I was studying, and I had my mind set up in one direction, and it was when we were praying here at the church, you know, this, God kept putting this word up in my mind about being squirmish. Well, I always thought squirmish, you know, you have kids, like when they say, you just won't sit still, just keep moving. And you know, that's not one of my words. I don't know, how many of y'all use the word squirmish? Maybe y'all were talking to me. Nobody will use squirmish? Yeah, I don't use it either. I'm sitting there and I'm preparing the message, and I said, squirmish. I said, squirmish just means fidgety. You can't sit still. You know, like how saints get on the run sometimes, you got to keep running. I said, but I don't want to get up there. You know, I heard a pastor preach one time. If you're going to use a word, you know what it means. Amen. Don't get up there and preach the word wrong and you don't know what it means. So I said, well, let me look it up and make sure. And when I looked up the word squirmish, I was like, wow, I guess I was kind of off. Amen. And I said, but you know, when I read it, the name of it in the dictionary, I said, you know, it might apply to a lot of saints' lives today. The word squirmish means to engage in a battle, not the war. To engage in a battle, but to do it from a distance. Squirmish means you're engaging in the battle. You're engaging in the fight, but you're doing it from a distance because you don't like face-to-face contact. I said, all right. It's online what I had, but that wasn't the word. But I said that probably applies more than the word that I was going to use. So squirmish deals with situations. Amen. Somebody said some of us like to retreat into the shadows. Amen. We are fighting, but we don't want to be in the forefront. Amen. So squirmish. And then this question that I'm going to ask you today. You know, sometimes it's not so good to shout when we come to church, especially when we're dealing with a lot of issues. I don't know about you, but we deal with issues on a daily basis. Amen. We're dealing with, like they've been calling me for the last couple of weeks. My father has, I don't know all the technical terms, but he has lung cancer, it's spreading, and the family is really on edge, you know, and then we're dealing with a whole lot of other situations. Amen. And you know, I was speaking to my one sister. She said, you need to come down here. She said, you don't need to be up there during this time, because this is a hard time for all of us trying to deal with this situation. You know, and I was going to go, but we prayed, and I said, well, you know, maybe this is not the time. And then after that, we get another call. I mean, we've got so many calls the last two or three weeks. It's just astounding. And you know, in your mind, you say, well, Lord, your word says all things work together for good. You know, sometimes you just have a one-on-one with you and God. Amen. You know, I'm being real for me. I don't know what you do. I'm just saying what I do. Amen. So when all of these, when you're inundated with phone calls and trials and situations, you just don't know where to go or who to turn to. Amen. So you just start talking with God.
Amen.
Amen. You say, Lord, well, first of all, I'm going to remind myself that the scripture said that God will never put more on us than we're able to bear. Amen. But he will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you might be able to deal with it. That's what the bear means. God will make a way, whatever you're going through this afternoon, if you're trusting in him and if you love the Lord, because God is faithful, he'll make a way that you're able to deal with the situation. And the situation won't take the advantage of you. So you get through that and you're just all right. And then about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, you get a phone call. And you know, this ain't a good call. Amen? So you deal with that situation and you're resting in Jesus. And next day you get another phone call. Then you begin to wonder in your mind, am I living right? Amen. Am I living saved? Is God really on my side? Is God in, do I have the favor of the Lord? You begin to question your own self.
Yes.
Amen. So then you want to deal with situations. Amen. You want to correct the situation, but sometimes we want to deal with it from the background. Amen. We want to deal with it from a far distance. You know, like, brother, I'm praying for what you're going through, but you know that God may have put it on your heart to do a little more than just pray. But some of us are spiritually squirmish. Amen. We're spiritually squirmish. We don't want to get involved with direct contact. So we want to do it but behind the scenes. Amen. Well, what Paul tells them here, tells Timothy here, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, this means it's sincere, real. There's no phoniness here. He said, when I first called to mind the unfeigned faith that was first in thy grandmother Lois, then in thy mother Eunice, which is also in thee, somebody has set up some spiritual order in the house. Amen. So it went from the grandmother, and because she loved the Lord, she passed it on down to her daughter. And because the daughter loved the Lord, she passed it on down to her son. So Paul said, Timothy, it's been in your family, and it's passed on to you. So then he deals with the next verse. He says, the next verse talks about stirring up. Amen. Stirring up the gift of God that is in thee by the laying on of hands. And we all know that gift is the what? That gift is the Holy Ghost. So he said, now, you got the faith. Amen. You know what's going on. He said, now it's time to stir it up. And this word stir up is like you start a fire. You get a fire in the fireplace or a wood stove, and it's about to go out. You got to throw some new energy on that fire. You got to stir it up. You got to create another zeal. You got to create something else. He said, so now, Timothy, you got the faith. Now I need you to stir up that gift that's down in you. The problem with the church today is we got the faith, but a lot of us are not stirring up the gift. We're not throwing some more wood on. We're not energizing our spiritual man. We're not allowing God's spirit to work in us. Then he goes on to the next verse and says, for God has not given us the spirit of, we're not squirmish. Amen. That fear means the spirit of a coward. Amen. Afraid to engage in the battle. Always saying, well, pray for me. And no, it's time to get our hands involved. It's time to get involved with the battle. Amen. It's time to get involved and say, you know, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. Amen. Too many of us this afternoon, backseat saints. Don't want to get involved, retreating into the shadows. As long as I'm in the shadows, I'm all right, and nobody can blame me if it goes wrong. And if it goes all right, I step out. God wants us to come out the shadows. God wants us to stop being just a prayer warrior from a distance. But God wants us to get involved, so God has not given us the spirit of a coward. We don't have a squirmish spirit in Christ. Amen. But our spirit that God gives us is a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. I said we have a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. But the problem in the church, everybody wants something from God, but they're too far away. Amen. Trying to get help from God, but we're reaching God from a long distance. Now the Bible does say that God's arm is not too short that it cannot save. But it never said that our arm is not too short. Amen. How can God bless us? How can God bless and deliver and heal and make a way when we're always in the shadows? See, this is what lets you know what somebody is a shadow saint. A shadow saint is like someone in a silhouette. You ever look at a silhouette? When you look at a silhouette or a shadow, it could be anybody because he has no real characteristics or no distinguishing factors. Amen. Too many of God's people have resorted to being shadow saints. No real characteristics. No real prayer life. No real spirituality. No real getting involved. Everything is just a seeming salvation. I show up and I say the right thing. I be there and I do the right thing. But when it's time, well, the rubber meets the road, we retreat back to the shells. Too afraid to launch out into the deep by faith, because I gotta have my security. I gotta have my place of retreat, just in case it does not work out right. But God doesn't need a squirmish saint. God is not interested in a squirmish spirit, but God wants someone that's going to come forward and get involved. God asked Isaiah the question. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, Isaiah in the presence of God realized that, Lord, I'm just a man of unclean lips. Lord, I'm nothing, I'm nobody. Amen. And then as he continued the discourse of God, God gave Isaiah a vision for what needed to be done. But God asked Isaiah the question, and it's a question I'm going to ask you, each one of you this afternoon. He said, Isaiah, whom shall I send? Lord, Isaiah, he said, who's going to go for us? Isaiah, who's going to go and carry this mantle of salvation? Lord, who, Isaiah, who's going to stand in the gap? Isaiah was on an island with God all by himself. Now, I pray that it wouldn't be, but if there was some of us, we'd be starting to think, well, brother so-and-so, maybe he can do it. You know how we are? Or maybe sister so-and-so, she can do it. But Isaiah said, Lord, send me. Amen. Isaiah did not have a squirmish spirit. Though Isaiah knew the challenges, he knew the difficulties, Isaiah believed God. So Isaiah said, Lord, send me, I'll go. Amen. How many of you this afternoon are willing to say, Lord, send me, I'll go. Lord, I'm really ready to fight in the battle. I'm not going to go to Philippians, but I'll refer to it. Amen. Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Amen. He said, now, some preach of Christ in sincerity. Other preach Christ trying to add affliction to our bonds. He said, they're preaching for the good, they're preaching for the bad. He said, notwithstanding, I rejoice that Christ is preached. He said, so since Christ is preached, he said, I'm still set for the defense of the gospel. He said, according to my earnest expectation and according to my earnest hope, in nothing I shall be ashamed. How many of us are ashamed this afternoon? Well, no, don't put me in that position. Paul said, in nothing I shall be ashamed, but as always, though now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body. And this afternoon, is Christ being magnified in your body, or you keep retreating to the shadows? A hard trial come, do you stand up and fight? Amen. Do you be still and know that God is God, or do you retreat into the shadows? I don't understand what's happening spiritually, so instead of fighting, I keep running. Jesus. Hallelujah. Not in Christ. Not in God. For God has not given us the spirit of a coward, but of love, power, and a of love, power, and what kind of mind? Too many saints are retreating in the shadows. The challenges ahead of us are great. America, the world, the global crisis, everything is coming to a head.
Yes, it is.
Many of us are retreating in the shadows. We won't testify and witness to the people on our job because I'm ashamed that they all know that I'm a Christian. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why aren't you ashamed? He said, because it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. We got this great gospel. We got the message, but we won't share it. Amen. When things are like a little cloudy, we just keep retreating. Amen. Squirmish. We'll fight the battle, but we don't want to have no direct contact. Amen. We want to do everything from behind the scene because, in essence, many of us, as Paul told Timothy, we do not have unfeigned love. We do not have unfeigned faith. We are not sincere. Amen. We haven't sold out. Some of us are still holding on. Just in case it don't work, I have an escape. For God I'll live, and for God I'll die. Now, one of the greatest illustrations of skirmish saints was the children of Israel when they had to deal with the Philistines. I'm going to say Libyans, but I know Israel and Libyans. Amen. The children of Israel, when they had to deal with the Philistine, and in particular, Goliath. Amen. It said that every day the Philistine would come out and set the battle in the rain. Amen. And the skirmish children of Israel would come out and fight until Goliath came out. Until there was a giant. Until there was a situation that was a little too big for them to handle. Amen. So they would fight. Then all of a sudden, Goliath would come out, and what would they do? Retreat back into the shadows. Afraid to stand on God in His Word. Afraid that Goliath was a little too big for them. So what would they do? They would retreat back into the shadows. And finally, somebody that came by was a man after God's own heart. When you got the real thing. When it's down in you like you ought to have. You're not afraid of the challenges. You're not afraid of what's confronting you. You're not afraid to face the giants in your life. Some of us are quitting on God because we are afraid of the giants that are in our hearts. I didn't expect it to be that way, and I didn't expect it to be the other way, and all the other things. And we just keep retreating back into the shadows. Well, David was a man after God's own heart. And when he heard that the unsaved, that the uncircumcised, he was talking about those that were ungodly, was challenging God. He didn't worry about the people. Amen. And this is where we as saints need to get a solid foundation. This is where we need to be set. When David heard Goliath challenging God, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he's going to defy my God? Amen. So David had a right spirit because he had a right heart. When the heart is right, the spirit is right. When the heart is wrong, the spirit is wrong. No matter how you try to clean it up, you'll be a coward, you'll retreat, you'll hide, you'll run because it's not there. Amen. So David had it right. In spite of the giant, David was prepared to fight. But, you know, sometimes when you're saying, you know, you got a brother or a sister, oh, you did it this way. And so they said, well, David, you can't fight like you want to fight. In order for you to fight this giant, we're going to give you the prescription. We want you to take Saul's armor. We want you to take Saul's shield. We want you to take Saul's sword. And we want you to go out and fight against Goliath. Now, see, that's how people are. They're afraid, but they're going to tell you what to do. You got to watch those kind of people. If you don't want to engage in the battle, well, somebody said, if you don't want to pray them, I don't want you to. I said, if you don't want to pray them, don't you? To me. So they're all afraid, but now they're going to tell David what to do. So David said, okay, I'll try and do it your way. But then David realized, he said, you know what? I can't do that because these things don't fit me. I'm not proven. I can't use your method to fight this giant. I have to rely on the name of the Lord. So this afternoon, whatever you're going through, of the Lord, for the name of the Lord's name, show power. Hallelujah. You can't rest and rely on anything else. When they said your whole effect had to go against the armies that were against them. They said, Lord, we're not relying on man. We're not relying on the army. Lord, we rest in your name. It's something about the name of Jesus. Somebody said there's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of
Jesus.
There's deliverance in the name of
Jesus.
So what David didn't know him as Jesus, but he knew it was God's name. So David said, I'm going to come against you in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. And then, see, what the devil does when he sees you getting ready to engage in the battle, he sends you a lot of wolf tickets. Amen. He sends you a lot of things to try to break you down, like the boxer that tries to intimidate their opponents. So when the Goliath saw David, he said, what? What is this? Like he told David, he said, what are you doing? How are you going to fight me? I'm a giant. You can't send me out. You can't send a child out to do a man's job. So Goliath said, you know what? I'm going to feed you to the birds of the air. Amen. But David has something that Goliath didn't realize that was down there. Amen. David did not have no squirmish spirit. David had the spirit of the Lord down there. Amen. So David said, I don't need nothing else. Just give me my sling and give me my five stones. Give me what I'm used to using. And as David, he did not retreat like the rest of Israel. Amen. As Goliath advanced, now watch what David does. I ain't gonna say watch this. I know y'all like to watch this stuff. I ain't gonna watch this. Let's see what David does. Everybody's going to watch this. Turn on TNN and TVN and all the other watch this. I ain't going to watch this. I'm going to say this thing what David did. All right? I know it's popular. They watch this, right? Don't watch this. Let me just show you what David did, okay? I said, watch this, watch it later. But what David did, everybody else with the live came to challenge them retreat. David did not walk to the challenge. David ran. Amen. David was determined. Amen. I'm not afraid of this some uncircumcised giant because I'm in God. So the scripture says that David ran after him, and all along Goliath is still blowing out his hot air about what he's going to do until that rock hit him in the forehead. Amen. When we have a determined spirit and will, when we refuse to cow down and when we make a stand for God, God has our back. Amen. Some people say, well, you know, I messed up. Guess what I messed up? We've all made some mistakes along the way. But I like what David said in the 30th division of Psalms after he had learned about God. After he messed up. After he come short, after he fallen from God's grace, David said, I will extol thee, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and you have not allowed my enemy to rejoice over me. What David said, he said, I'm not going to give God just some weak praise. He said, but I'm going to extol him. I'm going to pour praise all over God because of what God has done for me. Hallelujah. So David said, I will extol thee, O God, because you lifted me up. And then David went on to say that in his favor is life. What? The anger of the Lord endureth but a moment. You could have messed up, but when you come to God, his anger only endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Saints of God, this afternoon, weeping may endure for a night, but you have the assurance in God. When you're firm, when you're planted, you have the assurance that joy cometh in the heart. God's going to turn it around. I don't care what you're going through, stand on his word. Stand on his promises. God's going to turn it around. But when you're standing on God, He's going to turn it around. As we all stand and the ministers come forward and minister gifts going to do altar call, David went on to say in the latter portion of that, he said, in my prosperity. Now that prosperity doesn't mean he got a lot of money. Don't mean he got a lot of riches. But what it meant was he was now secure in God. Amen. Once you're secure in God, you don't worry about what the devil's going to do. David said, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. In other words, I'm planted, I'm set, amen. I'm ready to engage in the battle. I don't care what the devil brings my way. I can't change it. But you can be assured of one thing. He can come at me in several different ways. But with God on my side, he's going to flee seven ways. Because God will fight my battles.
The reason that many of us are giving up on God is because down in our hearts, we really don't believe in God. God of His Word. We don't trust and believe that God can make ways out of no way. Don't be a swerve saint. Stand on God's Word. Stand on His promises. Amen. The Bible says the just do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. The just do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Faith is the substance. Lord, I don't have it in my hands. I don't have it in my possession. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. Most of all, it's the evidence of things. You don't see it, but the just shall walk and the just shall live by faith. Refuse to run back into the shadows. Be as